Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Vibhora Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. When I was asked to speak something about Sankirtan and book distribution here, well, my first response was that it's probably better if I listen to all of you because you're doing it. But especially as I heard at that time Jayananda Prabhu was coming. I didn't know at that time Jayananda Prabhu was coming. I was thinking we could talk about something about doing book, what it was like in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Same place. I mean, we're over there a little bit, but more or less the same place. So we may talk about that, but we can also talk about the present and the future. This is an ongoing activity. There was once a devotee out, there was some rumor going around in ISKCON that there was going to be a big war and then all the book distribution would finish. Prabhupada said, whoever said that is a rascal. No book distribution, all is gone. So, I think it's a little cultural reversal, culture shock in reverse or something. Coming back to England after every time I come in here, it's a shock for pretty much everyone except, I mean, the Kamis also, except those who live here to come to this most hellish, well, one of the most hellish places in the world. Exclusive than all other very hellish cities also. But, you see, it's the same. I mean, nothing really changed from 70, 75, I was supposed to have them. John Andrew was from about 71, doing book distribution. I know I'm Sankita in this area, but from the material point of view, it's the same thing. People come, they think they're going to be happy, they're miserable. And there's people selling things on Oxford Street, and someone's cheating someone else. Same shops, and same kind of scene. Devotees are still there too, selling books. And things have changed a little bit. We used to get arrested a lot. You don't get arrested much now, hardly, not at all. Don't get arrested at all. That was a normal thing in those days. All the time getting arrested. And sometimes I never even got the chance. I was just walking to my spot and I got arrested. Didn't even get a chance to sell anything. So some things have changed, but that's the really encouraging sign that it's going on. The faces may have changed, but it's going on. Some faces that have been here for quite some time already, quite a few years. So that continuity in the Sankirtan movement, that's having its effect. It may seem that, well, Oxford Street is just the same and but things have changed. Well, that's one thing that's changed. We don't get arrested anymore. That's one thing that's changed. Another thing that's changed is that the attitude of the public is also quite different. It's very, very different. There's never been a better time for preaching. And we can say that, just like every year we say, that it's never been as degraded. And every time, we always say, it's just more degraded than ever. You can say that every day. And it'll be true every day, because every day is more degraded than the next. But it's also true that the more we... Jai, Hare Krishna. The more we distribute books and chant the holy names, and the better it gets. There's never been a better time for preaching and book distribution than there is now. I can remember even now about... I mean, I wasn't doing book distribution that long in it. In England, actually, it's about 2 years, I guess. And quite a lot of that time I was in Ireland also. But I did quite a few months in London itself. But even in England, In all that time, I can still remember the two or three people out of the hundreds that we approached and gave books. I can still remember the two or three people who showed any interest in it. Somehow or other, the books were going out, but it wasn't that people were they expressed any interest in them. I don't know if they do now, but it seems that in general, all over the world, the whole field for preaching and doing our book district and doing our Harinam, people like it so much. Everywhere. It's become well accepted that this is... People may not know much about our movement, what it is, but it's something very nice, it's something very happy, it's something good, it's something spiritual. They don't know what spiritual means, but they have a vague general idea that this is something spiritual. It's something that it's a some dimension that I don't really have in my life. I don't know if people think that much and philosophize that much in their minds, but in the dullness of their consciousness, obviously, some kind of thought is going on. Like that. If they stop to analyze it, they might find out. But those smiles of even Prabhupada said that even if they show some appreciation, if they just say the Hare Krishna movement is nice, that is for their eternal spiritual benefit. They have started their journey back to God and back to Krishna. And the effect of doing this, you may think, oh, it's just the same thing going on and on. But it's definitely having a tremendous cumulative effect all over the world. All over the world, it's a tremendous preaching field. It's really up to us just to wake up and take advantage of it. There's never been a better time for preaching. We have tremendous scope for spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. So, the Sankirtan motto is just keep on doing it. Don't be discouraged. Maya will definitely discourage us. Whenever Krishna consciousness, the preaching is going on nicely, Maya will come in many different forms. She is very clever in trying to... Prabhupada said, Maya is always trying to take away our enthusiasm. Because if we preach Krishna consciousness, definitely we become enthusiastic. If we try to serve Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates this, the spiritual energy is one of anandam buddhi vardhanam, one of ever-increasing bliss. So definitely, if we chant Hare Krishna, if we try to bring Prabhupada's books out to the conditioned souls, then that feeling that we get when we see, that wonderful feeling, someone has taken one of Prabhupada's books, it's such a wonderful experience every single time. It's so wonderful. Just we were chanting, and I was wondering if I was just selling the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then I immediately start to think, what's in that Bhagavatam? And they open that, they're going to read that, and all the wonderful information. Life's desires are not meant for satisfying the senses. They're going to read this. They may not personally read, someone's going to read it. Yeah, there are literally hundreds and thousands of examples of people all over the world. They read these books and it has that effect. Definitely anyone who reads these books, they immediately understand this is something completely different to what they ever read before. Everyone who sees us on Old Street, even the people who pretend to ignore us, and they're determined that they'll just walk past as if nothing happened. It definitely has an impression in their consciousness. It's not just like anyone else walking past, although they're determined to show that it is. But they won't forget. They'll remember. It may be lodged in the back of their mind, but they'll remember. Just like even myself, the first thing I think I ever heard about Krishna consciousness, I was just in a room when the TV was on. I wasn't watching it. I was reading a book. So I can't remember what the book was about, and there was something came on the TV about Hare Krishnas have got some center in Lakshmore Heath in Hertfordshire. And there was something, some interview with them. And I kind of looked up and had a little look at it, and that was it. You know, when I'm reading the book. But it lodged, I didn't know, but it went in there somewhere. And then later on, I got a Krishna book. I was in Ireland at the time. And then I thought, yeah, okay, I should find out what this is all about. But then I remember, I saw something on TV and it said Lechmore Heath in Hertfordshire. So then I looked on a map and anyway, I went there. And so I had there are so many instances. People, they say, well, I first saw the devotees, I didn't think much about reading, I was annoyed by it or whatever. I got a book and I saw a book. What was that house? Just recently I was reading. Actually, this is from old Gauriamat history because I've been researching the Buddhist and so on this life. So this is back in the 1920s. That one person, he was this staunch, smarter Brahmin, and he got some little leaflet, some four lines was written on a piece of paper. It completely changed his life. And the same thing, Brihadmadanga. He became a staunch preacher of Krishna consciousness. So definitely, it's having its effect, and that is the sense gratification of the devotee, actually. Not exactly sense gratification, but there's the pleasure, it's the real pleasure of life. It's just seeing how people's lives are changed. Even they may not know themselves, but everything, take away a book, Prabhupada's book in their hands, they gave some money for it. They said, oh, you got an Oxford Street. Everyone is trying to take their money. They're trying to show that we're doing something for your benefit, but actually, everyone, all the advertisements, the single purpose of them is to take the money out of your pocket and put it in theirs. Whatever it is good for you, it's healthy, or whatever it is. So that money, there's such competition, but our devotees, by their purity and their conviction, are able to sell the people something which is not at all about sense gratification. Life's desires are not meant for satisfying the senses. Right there in the book. And practically people, when they see that book, that they don't know exactly philosophically, but they know this is not something for my sense gratification. This isn't something that's going to improve my sense gratification. They know. Still they're taking it, because the devotee is convinced that there is something valuable for you here. And they feel that, and they take that book. But how valuable it is for them. They cannot understand. We can't understand. We don't know what's going on, actually. We can't show books. And we may, anyone, actually, who's distributing books, all the steady book distributors, they know, I never distributed a book in my life. They know that, because we can't do it. But simply, it may sound like hackneyed words, but actually, it's absolutely a fact. That the only thing we can do is to make ourselves an instrument in the hands of Prabhupada, Acharyas, and Krishna, and let the current flow through, and it works like that. There's one devotee in Moscow, he's been a book distributor for many years, maybe he's been going out for, maybe, I think since it opened up, and he's not top, but he's always in 8, 9 like that all the time. So he's very quiet devotee. Every day before he goes out, he sings this bhajan. Many other devotees have taken this up. Prabhupada's prayer when he was at Boston Pier, that how can these people take to Krishna consciousness? They're all covered by the lower modes of material nature. It's not possible. But by your grace, you can make the impossible possible. So you brought me here for some purpose. So you made me, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So now you make me dance. That was Prabhupada's prayer. You have some purpose in bringing me here. I don't know what it is. Somehow these people, by hearing your message, Shinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Prabhupada quoted those verses in his poem, that I cannot do anything, but if they simply hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then they will be purified. That was Prabhupada's firm faith. If they just simply hear this message, even though they have no knowledge of Krishna, they're completely covered by the lower modes of material nature. But that series of verses in the Bhagavatam states that if you simply hear, then the effects of the lower modes of nature will be diminished, and you will be fixed in goodness, you will be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada had firm faith in them, and he simply wanted to become an instrument of his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and of Krishna. And that was his faith, and he simply prayed to Krishna, make me a puppet and let me dance. You dance, you pull the strings and I will dance. So this devotee, Ambarish, he sings that song every day before he goes out. And that is his, what is his formula? That he tries to imbibe that mood of being a servant of Prabhupada, who's in that mood of just make me an instrument, so that let them be exposed to your message, Krishna, which is so powerful. Prabhupada had the faith that these people in America and in the Western countries and all over the world, they're completely covered by the lower modes of nature. But if they simply take this message of Bhagavatam, their lives will be changed. That was Prabhupada's full faith. Because he had that full faith, he was able to go into the most unlikely situation and change people's lives. So we can do that, not exactly we can do that, but by becoming an instrument in Prabhupada's hands and let Prabhupada preach to them through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it changes people's lives. And this is the pleasure of a devotee, to see others take these books, take to Krishna consciousness, take prasad, and hear the holy names. So with this inspiration we can go on. We should go on throughout our lives in whatever capacity. It may not be that everyone's going to be in exactly the same physical situation throughout their lives. Like I said, maybe the personnel have changed from the very place days, but the basic service is going on. Of course, it's good if some remain steady, but in this particular position. But it's not that everyone's going to stay here throughout the life of this body. But as long as we're here, we should take advantage of this opportunity, because it is such an amazing opportunity, such an important spot. It's very visible, actually. I've been traveling in Europe now for the last few weeks, and it's very visible when you come from other, you see other big cities in Europe. That actually, London, it's a very important city. There's a lot of energy here. Of course, it's all Maya energy. But you can feel it's not just the capital of England. It's actually a very, very influential city throughout the whole world. So distributing books and preaching here, it's actually affecting the whole, as you know, it's affecting the whole world. And this London is one of the major citadels of Maya's propaganda force. Much of all the nonsense ideas come out of, especially England and America. America and, yeah, these two places. England disproportionately to it. America's the most powerful economically, militarily, and all this. England is just a kid brother or something. But England is also disproportional to its size and economic strength and all this. A lot of the garbage ideas come out of England and get circulated throughout the world. It's one of the bastions of intellectual nonsense, which we're fighting against. Actually, we're against we're against everything the materialistic society stands for. And Prabhupada's books are the punching in the face against all the wrong ideas which are spoiling the world. We were just at that Camden Town Center this morning, so they had these flyers there for Amnesty International. And they're saying people are being tortured in so many countries in the world. And they're not going to stop. They can't stop. There's nothing they can do. They were not celebrating, but what's the word? They were mourning?
Mourning.
For one minute. Commemorating, the terrible terrorist attack. It's So people feel there's something wrong with the world. They don't know how wrong it is. Everything's wrong from the bottom up. They think that if we could just convince
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, bin Laden. If we could just convince him to be a good boy, not to be such a nasty guy. And Saddam Hussein, then everything will be nice. But they don't know. Their whole outlook on life is completely, it needs changing, absolutely changing. So Prabhupada's approach, different approaches, he also wanted preaching to scholars and intellectuals, but his main approach was grassroots. That was the main thrust of Prabhupada's, his strategy was go to the masses, change one by one by one, with books, prasadam, harinam, these three things. Of which Prabhupada especially, there's no doubt he emphasized his book distribution as being very, very powerful to change this demoniac civilization. Tanvar visayavo janatada viplavo yasvin prati shlokam avadavtya pi kamanyana tarsya nishongitani yat shunvanti vananti vananti sada. This very verse says that this message of Krishna will change, revolutionize. The very word is there, viplav, means revolution. It will create a revolution in the misdirected lives of a sinful civilization. This verse, written, spoken by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva and recorded by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, directly refers to Srila Prabhupada's books and his book distribution. Otherwise, what does it refer to? The Srimad Bhagavatam was never distributed in a sinful civilization. Is it? And Prabhupada himself quotes that verse, that even if imperfectly composed, because he said even though there may be so many discrepancies, because Prabhupada's English was Indian English, and so many grammatical errors and this and that, the Prabhupada, that even though it is imperfectly composed, honest men will accept this. So this verse, what does it refer to if not Prabhupada and his books? So it's right there in the Bhagavatam itself. We're so fortunate to be in Prabhupada's movement, to be part of this. And nowadays there are other Gaudiya movements all over the world, but they haven't got a clue. They're not the faintest idea what's going on in this ISKCON movement. What's going on, what the connection with Prabhupada is. They're missing it all. They don't have that energy. They don't, without recognizing Prabhupada and the mission that he's carrying from Lord Chaitanya, they're actually, it's on a theoretical platform. The energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is in these activities. Chanting, dancing, preaching, distributing these books, festivals, distributing prasadam. The mercy is coming through. You know all these things. I'm simply speaking what you already know. You're experiencing and lived it. So what shall we say about book distribution in the previous? It was the same, basically the same thing. Get the books, go out, approach people. You ask them to give some lecture. I mean, you give the book, ask them to give a donation, and they take it. But how it's going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knows. How you can sell these books, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows. There's no material form in it. Simply surrender, pray to Krishna. Please bless me to become a puppet. Let me do this service for you. Dinosaurs are living still. Younger every day.
If you saw us, we're not dead.
Younger every day. thing, I suppose. So tell us, you were one from 71? You're here, Jananda. I was here in 75. When I came here, I first joined in the manor, then after about 5 days there, they brought me here. I think the town president was Prabhupada Swami.
It was a manor,
was it Vichy was the president? He could have been. I wasn't. I'm not actually sure because. No. I think Prabhupada was the president, but he was out on traveling Sankirtan all the time.
Prabhupada was present at the manor in the end of 74.
You were like managing everything more or less.
Well, he was managing here for a while. From 74 to the middle of March 76. Prabhupada Maharaj was the president in the manor.
But he was like, there was no regional secretary term at that time. He was practically overseeing
all of it. He was traveling around that. Well, there wasn't much outside of London, really.
But there were smaller centers at one point.
So who was the TP in Birdcliffe?
I think Vichy was it.
Vichy probably was in there. And he would have moved over to the manor.
A little later, yeah.
He probably was at the time.
You don't know.
Prabhupada Vishwanath was a very good president. Temple president.
But Bhajahari was president.
No, he was.
Bhajahari may have become president after Prabhupada Vishwanath because then Jayatam Hansadutta
removed
Prabhupada Vishwanath and Bhajahari came in. But he was present up to March 76.
Who was?
No, November 75. Up to November 75, that's when he was removed. About a year he was present. Prabhupada. He was a good temple president.
He managed from the Sankirtan.
He's
out on the road most
of
the
time. Didn't see much of him. 90% perhaps. He'd be traveling on Sankirtan, history books. Oftentimes setting new standards for book distribution.
Yeah, he got in a dhoti and I was with him. Actually, my first traveling Sankirtan leader was Brajendranandan.
Pratyi Brajendranandan.
Yeah.
He was a stalwart, Pratyi Brajendranandan. You know him? He's from Malaysia originally.
He doesn't come here.
Rather large, rotund. He's got a little
skin.
Yeah.
He's getting on now. He's over 60.
65 years of age now. But he was a little older than most of us when he joined. And we joined on the same day.
Is it?
Yeah.
He was good friends with Subhag Swami.
Subhag Maharaj made him a devotee in Birmingham.
Yeah.
By going out on Sankirtan.
He was the only one.
Yeah, distributing Back to Godhead magazines in Birmingham. And we all became devotees. But he would go out, back to Vrindavan. The mood was perhaps not so organized as it is now. They would just go out at every opportunity if they were into it. Vrindavan Kumar, as he was known then.
Right, yeah.
He used to, he's a real hard worker, real simple. But he'd go out all day. I mean, when he's in Bury Place in 72, 73, he'd go out all day on Sankirtan. And, you know, it was blissful. What you can say, it was ecstatic. The results weren't so great in some cases. I mean, I remember the first day we went out on magazine distribution in 71, and we didn't have any idea of how to distribute books. Our idea was we'd stand there on the street. We wouldn't approach people. Just stand there holding up the magazine. No, we didn't know. At least that's what we were showed what to do. And if you sold one or two or three magazines in a day, it was like a big achievement. 10 pence each. Well, the first time I went out on BTGs, I distributed 3 BTGs and collected 30 pence. Big day.
First day.
Yeah, big day. That was with BTGs. And, it was just the way it was. I mean, things were very slow in moving in those days. Harinam was the main thing, of course. Then 72, and then the books came. And they had books, and then they ran out. They had a few books before that. But they ran out. We only had BTGs. And about, I don't know, February 72 or something, a stock of Krishna books came in. And the first time I went out, hardbound book. My God, we didn't know what to do with it. It was scary. Earl's Court. I remember we went to Earl's Court, door to door in Earl's Court. We were scared to go on the street. It was a big, huge book. They were bigger than any of those big ones? Bigger than that. That's the second edition, isn't it?
The other ones were bigger.
Even fatter.
They were fatter.
They were like, you have four of those in your bag. You didn't need more than four anyway. That one was too many. I think it took a week before anyone distributed one book, some guy came out the door and he bought a book and I almost fainted. No, he didn't. It was incredible. We went down to Brighton, I think, on the second day. We drove four or five of us down to Brighton. Between the four of us, we didn't distribute one single book. We didn't mind, we were just trying. We knew this is what Prabhupada wanted. We just didn't know what we were doing, but the spirit was there. But then gradually, Prabhupada Vishwamaj, book distribution is in America. I mean, Mahajyoti Pro was in America. He knows a lot more about the roots of book distribution. We were kind of a little bit late over here. Prabhupada Vishwamaj was pretty much a revolutionary of book distribution here, in many ways. I think a little bit before Maharaj and Kalyapani Prabhu came to the temple in this lifetime, Prabhupada Vishwamaj was spearheading, even though, actually at that time, it's funny, he wasn't involved in management until about 73. In 72, he spearheaded the first traveling Sangtam party in Europe. I don't know, do you want me to say something?
Yeah.
I can't say much. I'm not much of a Sangtam devotee. But I can repeat what Prabhupada Vishwamaj did, at least to get the ball rolling here in England. And there had been previous devotees. I know just before I joined, there was a few devotees like Jai Hari. You may not know Jai Hari.
He's the one who comes sometimes.
He may have
occasionally small, dark hair, curly hair.
Muslim. Pakistani, yeah. He was actually, before I came, they had some books here, as I say, and some or another. He was able to distribute books. I never found out how. I know that I heard from devotees. He used to actually be quite dynamic. But I never saw him after that doing book distribution. But Prabhupada Vishwamaj was the one who organized it first, and he started up with a real ragamuffin party. I can't honestly remember, but he had a really, really ragamuffin party of renegades, more or less. He started a traveling Sangatan party. Traveling around England. But gradually he got the party organized, and after a while he picked up a few gems. And the first one he got was Mahavishnu Swami. He was a real... we all know Mahavishnu Raj. Mahavishnu Raj is a saint.
Where did he pick him?
Well, he was already a devotee, but he picked him up from... I think he was in Manchester or something. He kind of picked him up and got him on the party. He may have been in London, I can't remember. But he picked him up from somewhere and plugged him onto the Travan Sangtan party. Mm-hmm. And... who was the next one? The next one was Tri Bhangananda. Tri Bhangananda was funny. He was a very interesting person. I won't say much of it, but he was very funny. He was like the comedian on the party. And then he dragged me out on that party. I was very happy, actually. We had basically... simple program in those days, it wasn't very sophisticated in the society then. We used to have Harinam Sankirtan, and then Prabhupada Vishwamaj started this book program. Everybody was out on Harinam otherwise, except for me and one or two others. And we would have to go make incense. So we were making incense. He kind of pulled me out of that service and took me on that party. And it was extraordinarily dynamic. It became an incredibly dynamic party. Sri Bhangananda kind of dropped off it shortly after I joined. And Vijayendra Kumar joined the party. So there were five of us. I think five. Yeah. Oh, another devotee, David Dharma. you probably don't know him. In Australia now. And then we bought another devotee named... Yeah, he was a temple commander when I joined, in Bury Place. He was really fired up. There was also Dhirashan, there were so many devotees there in those days.
They're all still around.
Yeah, Dhirashan, not all, quite a lot of them around. Yeah, those ones are all around. A whole party is still around. It's quite a party. And Prabhu Vishwanath was really, I mean, those, don't forget, those were days of pretty much, I mean, there wasn't much sophistication, at least not in England, you know. We were a bunch of ragamuffins, basically.
And also another thing is that people didn't, a lot of people had never seen us or heard of us, and this was long before the days of punk rockers and all this kind of, that's when the standard British person was, there was no, they didn't wear jeans or anything. The British stiff upper lip and
pinstripe suits.
It was conservative England, and then all these people.
Hippies had come in. You see.
Hippies had just come in, but they were not at all not accepted. No,
and we were part of
the hippie culture.
They had a lot of background. I mean, I just give you an idea. You probably heard this before, but you know what it was like going to Oxford Street. You don't know how lucky, I mean, in one sense it is now, you know. Like, we go on Oxford Street today, they would have had us in the neck before we got round the corner.
It happened several times.
Oh, every day.
Walk out the door and before you can even put your cartels on the finger.
They would chase us around. Piccadilly Circus running this, we had a whole tactic how to get it, day after day get arrested. And the same thing on book distribution, they'd know us by name.
One of my first services was going to court every day
to sail us out.
Oh, you have to pay £5 fine. That would save the time of a good book distributor.
Yeah.
And I was every day, is your name so and so? Yes. Be a different name.
Well, we were rich when you joined. In those days, we never paid the fines at all. Never. In 72, never paid the fines.
What did you do? Just go to prison?
Yeah, they were just, no. Well, the judge would just, he would come in the next day. He'd arrest us the next day, we'd be in again the next day on the dock. The same judge would be. Eventually, he just got flabbergasted. He just didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to make of it. Every day, we're coming in. The sergeant, I think he was in the other side of Oxford Street there, he loved it. He was having a ball of the time arresting us. We'd get in there and say, "Come on, you boys, come on, sing, come on, hurry up. I'm waiting for you to sing." He used to love it when he was singing in the prisons. It was a kind of a pastime which they had, really. They knew we had no money. There was this witch who used to follow us all over. Every time this witch used to follow around, a helper person, right back to the temple, a real witch. All kinds of weird people around in those days. But, I mean, it's kind of pretty passive. You talk about the, what do you call these people outside? The ghoul, what do you call them? The ghouls?
Ghouls, I say, use the word, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty wild down. We were up there in Bury Place, you know, that's off the beaten track. We had people coming. I mean, sometimes you'd be sitting in the temple there, one time a whole milk churn came crashing through the window right into the temple room. Right in the middle of class. What? You get this on Saturday.
Is there milk in it?
Huh?
Is there any
milk? I don't think so. I hope not. I think it was an empty one, but it smashed the window to pieces. Lucky no one got hurt.
After that, they put a shatterproof.
Sorts. I mean, it was a weird time. Anyway, Prabhu Vishwanath in the middle of all this. And we were a weird bunch,
most of us were still much influenced by our experiences with...
don't mention those, really. Don't know about them. Well, I've never heard of these things now, really. These are innocent boys. But he put shoes
Johnny
on...
Johnny Talmadge was telling me when he first came in the temple, that was... Prajumna was in the temple room standing on his head.
Prajumna?
Yeah.
Wow. He was an eccentric. Prabhu Vishwanath put shoes on it. We didn't have shoes. We've gone outside now, we have shoes. Prabhu Vishwanath put shoes on our feet. We put coats on our backs. We had no money. We just didn't know. It was Hare Krishna, and we're Hare Krishnas. And, you just go out and just run up to people. Please take this book! Please take this book! We know what to say. I mean, that was a little bit, when the monkeys started getting into the mood of book distribution. First, we didn't do anything, as I said, but when we got into it, it was just like running up to people. I mean, I remember, when I was in Spiritual Sky, we were still on the Saturdays. We would go out on books and we'd just run up to people from morning to night. And it wasn't just the 10 to 4. It was like, oh, you know, it's like you're always in that mood, how to get this book in this person's hand, you know. If they come to the temple, how to get them to take a book. You know, it's like, it became like that after a while. And say in the beginning we didn't have a clue, but I mean after a while, this mood, we didn't know how to do it still, but the mood was there of how we wanted to do this. So Prabhu Vishwanath sort of got it going, you know, in a systematic way. And he started this program. Then he got a van, and the party was so ecstatic. I mean, it really was organized. I mean, you can imagine 72, something being really, really organized, at least in England, you know. Maybe in America it was going well, I don't know. But he really
was a little later in America, wasn't it? It was surely just beginning.
It really began. It's the first Travis Sangam party in Europe. Up to then, Bhakti Singh was already going in America, I know, in 72.
Europe, we have to remember also, I mean, there wasn't that much that was outside of England anyway.
There was Amsterdam, and one in Hamburg, and a few things here and there. Rome, not quite. Sweden
was very, very new.
Yeah, very new. Well, that party, after a while, I mean, it was such a good party. I mean, he just got the right combination of people. You get the right combination of people, the lock opens, you know. And it was real perfect. You got Mahavishnu Maharaj, I mean, you all know Mahavishnu Maharaj. I mean, you can't meet such an enthusiastic, sincere devotee if you try, practically. And Bhakti Vrajendra Kumar, as I say, such a hard-working person you would not meet. I mean, now, of course, he's, you know, bear in mind, he spent like 15 years, I don't know how many years, but I mean, I know even in Malaysia, he used to work so hard, didn't he? I mean, he worked from morning to night. But, okay, he's a, you know, he's getting on now, but I mean, he spent so many years working so hard for Prabhupada. And he would go out morning to night, working so hard. And even when he was staying in Bhavani Place, he would come back at night, and someone after like 8 hours on book distribution, and they'd say, we need someone to wash the pots, he'd immediately volunteer. And sometimes he'd be up till 1 o'clock in the morning washing those pots. You know, remember him now. Such a sincere soul. And Mahavishnu Maharaj, well, no, I mean, what can I say? But that party was so good. Mahavishnu Maharaj organized it so nicely, it was like clockwork. He got it like clockwork. So organized. And he was a real leader. And when we come back to the temple, the whole temple will be, oh, they're coming back. The whole temple will be like uplifted, you know. Sangatam party is coming back, and they'd be so inspired to see the devotees come up, because we'd be wearing like all the same clothes, and everything was very nicely organized. And we'd get up in the morning every day, almost, you know, obviously sometimes a little bit, but more or less every day would be the same time, every day. Get up, and, you know, we'd take our bath. We have a whole program, we take our baths in various places. But we'd take our bath, and after that, be a regular program, not missing anything. Traveling Sangatam, Mangal Arati, you know, japa. Solid japa, but Guru Puja. Book distributed, Srimad Bhagavatam class, very light breakfast. I was telling Kali Panipur the other day, our schedule. Very light breakfast, we would take like just milk and perhaps a little fruit. And then four of us, we had five or six, it was sometimes five and sometimes six on the party, but at least four would go out at 9 o'clock sharp, more or less, 9 to 9:15, on book distribution. We just spend the whole morning up to 12:30 distributing books. 12:30, we'd be joined by the other one or two. Then we do Hari Nam at lunchtime. We found, I don't know, it's changed, as times have changed, but we found, at least in the suburban areas or in the provincial towns, at lunchtime people were running around like this. We found it hard to stop them. That was our experience. So we just did Hari Nam during an hour, you know, 12:30 to 1:30 or some 2 o'clock, like that. And then whilst the four of us were on book distribution, the other one or two had been back in the van preparing lunch. Quite a large van, and they were preparing lunch, and then we'd come back and we'd have a first class lunch. And this on Travis Sangri, rice, dal, sabji, chapati, two subjects, chapatis. And also then it was a really good lunch, and we were really happy when we get back. And then after that we'd take a little rest, and then we'd have a class, and we'll take in turns to give class. Bhagavad Gita, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd have a class. 5 o'clock we'd drive off, usually to a university or college. If it wasn't, we'd go house to house. From like 5:30, 6 o'clock till like 8:30, 9 o'clock. We'd be going door to door either in the college or in the houses like this. Come back and have a cup of hot milk. And you know, and sometimes you have program, you know, spontaneously there'd be a program in the college sometimes, or you meet people, you preach. And then, you know, then the weekend, yeah, so it was so exciting. It was such a nice program. That was more or less like that 5 days a week. Saturday, we would get Friday to Saturday, we would usually stay in the same place, get ready for a Sunday program. We would organize a Sunday program in the middle of nowhere on Sunday, you know. Maybe, you know, say we're in Norwich, we'd try to find some hippie or somebody. Can we have a program in your place on Sunday? You know? And we'd quickly photocopy some invitations. Saturday we'd be doing books most of the day, Hari Nam. giving out leaflets, and then suddenly we'd have a fantastic feast. You know, Prabhupada Maharaj and Mahavishnu Maharaj used to cook up superb feasts, incredible feasts. You know, the halava would be with cream. It wouldn't be water, it would be with cream. They make it with cream and honey sometimes. You know? Yeah, it was quite stunning. Anyway, that was a fantastic party. It was going on absolutely wonderfully until we got back to Vedanta Maya. Not to say anything wrong with that. Just that when we got back to Vedanta Maya, the party closed down. Because we had to all stop.
All regional centers closed down.
Yeah, everything practically stopped. Because we had to man back to Vedanta Maya. So some of us were put into Sobari place, and some of the very places were sent to the manor. Prabhupada Maharaj was made the president of back to the Bari place temple. And few of us were here, and Mahavishnu Maharaj and Brahmachari went over to the manor, and Prabhupada Maharaj, Rajendra Kumar and myself were here, the others were put over there. You know, the whole thing kind of folded in. But it was just, that was the beginning of organized book distribution in England anyway. And it was going really well. And we would go out, and some days, you know, we'd collect 10, 20 pounds in a day. Yeah, that was big. If you'd, 20 pounds of like...
The value of money was different.
That's true. We'd always go out and dodio. We never had any concept of anything but going up to people with a book. Or we didn't know anything else. At that time, I mean, later on, Prabhupada, of course, very much emphasized book distribution. So devotees found many, many more enterprising ways to distribute more books. In those days, we would just go up to people with books and just and try to convince people to buy the book by some means or another. Enthusiasm, I think, was the main ingredient, really. Just plain, simple enthusiasm. And people would pick it up on you, you know. It's not so much what you say sometimes, it's, you know, how you feel. You really feel you want something. It's a book to be distributed, a person to get the mercy. Anyway, that's something, one of the things, you know, how they developed over the years and so on and so forth. We have with us Kalyapani Prabhu, who I know, Bhaktivedanta Kash Maharaj, was only distributing books for a year or two in the British Isles before he went to the Eastern world. He was a very inspirational book distributor, and I can say that even when he had physical disabilities, he would not stop. You had a lot of physical disabilities in those days. I know you don't want to talk about it, right? You had knee.
Well, I did stop because I couldn't move.
Well, you had one time, if I'm not mistaken, you went out even in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it was actually very good. It's good to shoot in a wheelchair.
Yes.
I was traveling with Kalyapani Prabhu for quite a few months. You, me, and Madhavi. We were three-man party. We didn't speak to each other hardly. We just we didn't want to waste any time, so we got up in the morning, did whatever we had to do, and then we went out. The only time we ever spoke was when we were driving back on Saturday night. We go back on Sundays, stock up, and we'd be out again. But we were very tight and close together.
By the time, when I started going out, I remember the impetus was, a lot of the impetus was competition, which Prabhupada really encouraged, which is, I don't know there's so much now, but we were always completely in anxiety that France were going to beat us, or Holland or someone.
Los Angeles.
And then sometimes Prabhupada would come, you know, not really. When Prabhupada came here in 77, I think we had the biggest, as far as I remember, we had the biggest week that anyone had in the world, I believe. Just because Prabhupada was here, you know, he was hearing the scores every day, personally.
So sometimes now we have a different effect, don't we? You know, some senior person comes, you know, I don't know, perhaps not here, you're well organized here, but in some places things kind of like book distribution doesn't always increase during their presence. In fact, whenever Prabhupada would come, we knew that service to Prabhupada meant service to Prabhupada. Distributing more and more books, more devotees would go out on book distribution. He was one of our steadiest book distributors for many years.
Many years, yeah. Many years.
Sankirtan leader. we would send out new devotees with Kalyas. Wasn't that your party? We would take the new devotees too.
Yeah.
But then we had the Bhakti program ticking in those days, wasn't it? Right? 76, 77, 78. So, 76 it started, and Dhanavir Maharaj came here. So it's like a clockwork program. You know, we have the Bhakti program. And it was the intention of the Bhakti program was to, well, nothing was forced, but as much as possible, we were trying to increase the book distribution teams. So the Bhakti program was geared towards that. Gradually weaning them into becoming steady book distributors, Bhaktin and Bhakta. And Kalyapani's party oftentimes would be the new male in your party, wasn't it? That's what it is. To be very experienced and very steady and very disciplined in this Sangatana.
It was a whole system that people would be invited, book distributors would have these little cards, come for your lunch, and they get preached to at the lunch here.
Yeah.
They go to the manor, get trained up a bit, and then they'd be out on Sankirtan with book distribution.
Yeah. It was system. Immediate. There was so much to move, and it was so clear what Prabhupada wanted. I mean, I think, you know, someone claimed that Prabhupada really... His main intention or main reason for starting this movement was to help distribute his books. If someone claimed that, I think he'd have a pretty good case. Yeah. And it was very clear in those days. And when I joined, there was no Bhakti program. I was in the town for 3 days, and then I walked out of the door one day, and there was the open back doors of the transit van. That was me for 5 years.
Even Mukunda Maharaj, you know Mukunda Maharaj? I mean, he's not generally known as perhaps, you know, a pusher of book distribution, but I know was he present when you joined Mukunda Maharaj?
No, Bajirani.
Mukunda Maharaj was the present. He was present before Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj.
Or the manor.
Yeah, the manor. It changed real quick in those days. It's hard to keep up with who's about. Well, even his time, though, we weren't particularly, you know, organized as a whole yatra in the terms of Sangatana, but his mood was let everyone go out. Let everyone get out there, whatever it was on Sankirtana. Minimum numbers of people, minimum. He was properly given that indication at one point in time, that everyone should go on Sankirtana. Only one devotee should stay back. Remember that one time? Of course, you had to be practical, maybe jari work has to go on, but the principle was that every devotee should go out on Sankirtana.
Well, Prabhupada said one devotee stay back.
Yeah, one devotee.
So you may have to have another one called, but you know, the point is minimum staying back. And even those who were staying back, we tried to organize so that everyone could go out sometime or another. Knowing that without actually experiencing or without actually taking part in this yajna, of Sankirtan yajna, you can't really understand Krishna consciousness. One has to be in the mood. The mood of giving Krishna consciousness. And what better way than to give a book to somebody? Many times Prabhupada would say that, you know, 10 minutes talk, not very well, but they'll usually forget everything. But if they get one book, some solid preaching, they take it with them. As when I said, sometimes it will sit there. A book may sit there, and you all know this. I mean, sometimes the books sit there for years. But they all have purpose. They find their target. Brahmastra, find their targets. Every book has a target. I mean, we've seen, you mentioned different devotees. It was Tulsi Priya, wasn't it? He was working in, I think it was Tulsi. He was working in one of these places where you know, the garbage disposal places where all the rubbish goes and all the stuff is being seen. He had the job of putting things onto different conveyor belts, you know. So along came a Bhagavad Gita. Picked it up and put it in his bag. And he read it and became a devotee. Yeah. Every book has its target.
I also, I was staying in someone's house and I saw this book, Krishna. I wasn't reading it. I was completely fed up with reading books. I stopped reading. It was just so much nonsense. But I thought I'd like to read that, so I asked, could I read that? And I said, okay. So I opened up the book, and sometimes you see people, they read the book and then they fold it over where they stop reading. So I opened it up and it was folded over on page one. But I read it all the way through.
So.
Bhaktivedanta Kash Maharaj was the winner of, as far as I know, it was the first English Christmas marathon.
That was in the tubes, wasn't it?
75, yeah.
No, I think the tubes was in 76, wasn't it?
No, it's been earlier 75. Than that.
Well,
earlier
I had to drop out of the tubes marathon because that's where I first had my... I was. I had this pain. I couldn't move. Yeah. I became paralyzed. Yeah. Actually, that's why I had to go to India. That's a little long planet. Because they had.
You were first. You were top.
Was it?
Sure. You were definitely top of one marathon there.
We had so many. They we were taking these back to Godheads, and in the tubes, and hello everybody, and making an announcement, and then distributing. And you walk off, you see everyone's, and that was a very heavy back to. That edition was extremely heavy against abortion. It was extremely heavy. We were distributing. And it was actually the biggest. It was almost like a book. It was the biggest one you ever made. You had these special book bags. You had 200 Back to Godheads. It was huge.
Backbreakers.
Yeah, well, that was back the problem. It. And it took us more time to go back and get them than to distribute them. Yeah. Distributing was very quick. And that's one time I was going up the tube in Holborn. I was running up the escalator, and all of a sudden... That was it. I was finished.
But we had a Raso Sika was carrying, supplying the distributors. You would see him sometimes down the end of a long corridor, you know, loping off with a very big, slow devotee, with two boxes on his shoulders like this.
He's like a buffalo.
And we had Mohan parked up in a van with blacked out windows somewhere in Oxford Circus. It was. He was collecting all the money, you know, so he'd come up the tube, open the back doors, and they'd come in, dump all the money, and he had these Brahmastra date balls. Made with jelly and dates and peanuts. So he'd stuff about three or four of those down.
And then the devotees would come back at night, back to that very place, they'd be black.
They'd be black.
Yeah, yeah.
Blow your nose, yeah. And have to throw away the handkerchief.
Yeah, morning to late night, eh?
Yeah. So Bhakti Vikash Maharaj was top. Yeah, I was sure. Second. And my brother was third, Satyavan. And the top three prizes where you go to India and you get second initiation for Prabhupada.
That was 75. 75
minutes. Trying to make it envious.
No, that was that must have been 76. That must have been 75 because I got
Brahman. Yeah, 75 Christmas marathon.
Get Brahman initiation for Prabhupada means not through a rhythmic.
Yeah,
I got high nam from Hans Dudo's the rhythmic.
The Brahman initiation.
Volume 1, the pictures there.
Brahman initiation.
So please go on. Yeah, please go on. No, we're all useless fossils here. But, go on.
Just call it.
Go on, and sometimes it may seem very difficult because Maya's like that. But anyway, go on. And as all the, you'll find some devotees that they've been doing this, and after some time they relax in their Krishna consciousness. And, again, a little Maya or whatever, but they'd all say that that was the best time of my life. So why not remain in the best time of your life forever?
They do.
Why stay high forever?
They do. Every devotee says that.
Very place, temple, it was, you must have heard so much, it was so crowded, and it's so funny, the tiny one shower for uncountable brahmacharis. You're in the morning, you had like, anything more than 4 seconds would be physically.
Well, it was only cold water. It was like the Ganges water coming out the wall.
There was a heater. We very well turned it off. We immediately turned it off.
You were lucky, weren't you? My eyes.
So, and there were devotees sleeping in the shower room. And
in the shower. Actually, in the shower. One shower. In the shower. In the shower.
I didn't see that.
Oh, no, yeah, that's earlier, before we got the manor.
And then the stairs where the stairs curved, it was the one stair is a little bigger,
yeah,
and one small devotee could fit on the other.
And the but the problem was the toilet was like a bit like you got here, you know, we say like where you got your laundry room, that would be like the toilet. So, you know, you'd be sleeping right outside the toilet there. Did you? Yeah, it was like that in Great Test. Because there was no toilet upstairs, that was the toilet for the men. The ladies had one downstairs. When Prabhupada came, the ladies' toilet and bathroom was out of bounds to the ladies. They had to share the men's ones. Everybody had to use the same.
Because Prabhupada used what was the ladies'.
That's right. Everything moved out. We had no room. There was only one brahmachari room when he joined.
But it was so blissful, despite all the physical...
Yeah, it was so blissful. Because everyone was in the mood of Harinam and Bhukta Swab. Then it was Harinam, then it became Bhukta Swab. The mood of Sankirtan. The spirit. Even if you were pujari or cook or maybe a temple president, everyone was in the mood.
And everything was very much focused on Radha Nandanishwar. Everyone was very much feeling the presence. And the presence was... We were right next to them, actually. You could almost shake hands.
Well, we'd come back at night. Everyone would come back at night after Sankirtan and go before Radha Nandanishwar. And whatever you can say, it sounds sentimental, but speak to the deities. You know, today what happened with Sankirtan. The Sri Prabhupada always emphasized that to us. He said, you do what we're doing. Do it. In London, it was for Radha Nandanishwar. Do it for Krishna. Our mood was doing it for Krishna. We would take pictures out of our London Ishwar wherever we go and just remember what we're doing now with our servants. We're simply taking their message of mercy to their other servants who've forgotten, trying to remind them.
All the devotees are very, very much attached to Radha London Ishwar.
Still are.
Yeah, very, very strong mood.
In the days. Yeah, this is the spirit. It never dies. And we should have brought it right to the end. But many other things are important, but as we're discussing book distribution, which is the root foundation, we always saw that no matter what other program is going on, without book distribution at the root, it's not going to flourish. Even if you're Pujari, there was one time actually the Bombay in Pujari was a top book distributor in Islam.
Hmm.
In the marathon. He won the marathon. Bombay. They were distributing books from the altar. And they had, you know, Bombay, you know, not like anywhere, 10,000 people come in, you know, so apparently everyone gets the book.
One thing that's very nice to see is that you're distributing Srimad Bhagavatam here, because it was very difficult to distribute big books. It was considered almost impossible in those days.
One day...
We were doing, first few months, you know, I was on a party with Adi Karta. I think it was mostly me and him. We were in Oxford Street for some time, then we went to Ireland for some time. He would do about 20 to 25 a day, and I would do 10 to 15 a day. It was tough. It was not very easy. Then we went back to smaller books. But now we're distributing, I see they've always distributing big books. Which in those days, America was doing big books, but even Tripurari Maharaj came here, and he was the king of big book distribution in America. He was trying to get it going in England. Somehow or other, he couldn't get it. It was very
difficult.
It was difficult.
Rajasekhar came too,
though. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't come?
Yeah.
I never heard it.
Maybe that was a bit later.
But
somehow they couldn't get it together. Yeah. No one could.
Tripurari gave. He actually just couldn't. He tried all sorts of things in England. He just didn't click. He eventually just pretty much just packed his bags.
So we were going on with these Krishna books. They were paperback, three volumes.
Trilogy.
Yeah, the trilogy.
In the box?
No, we were selling one at a time, mostly. And BTGs. That's mostly what I distributed. A lot of Ishopanishads. For many months we were in Ireland and we distributed a lot of Ishopanishads. Paperback.
Have you got that old, you remember that old trilogy? It was in a very hard box. Krishna books. They're really hard, kind of really good box. They came in. Beautiful, beautiful. Very nicely printed and bound. Have you still got some of the books there? It's the blue one, isn't it? The blue one.
Yeah.
All three were blue.
They were all three were blue. Yeah, the other two are the later edition. But that was what we were just doing on Prabhavishwamaraj's party. That time, they just came. That just came in 72 sometime. And then the Bhagavad Gita Macmillan, full one, came. So those were the two things we were distributing on Prohibition Majors parties. Somehow or another we were distributing, I don't know how, but anyway, we're going out with those things. The big Bhagavad Gita, the Macmillan, you know, the real big one, soft in the mouth.
And there was, at that time, there was a very strong mood that this will change the world. Prabhupada was stressing that these books will change the world. This will change. History will mark how this Krishna conscious movement has saved the world in its darkest hour.
And we expected it would probably be the next day or something. More or less.
Well, if Prabhupada had stayed, it probably would have been. His personal presence was very, very powerful.
And we have to develop a little bit of that fearlessness we were discussing today. How many devotees there are in ISKCON? I don't know, 5,000? 10,000?
Prabhupada initiated about a little less than 5,000.
Let's say in the whole of our movement now, one Srila Prabhupada, we look at Srila Prabhupada, how much he was able to inspire hundreds and thousands of people in Krishna consciousness, and so many to become preachers of Krishna consciousness. He's completely fearless. If we had just 10%, 1% even of that potency or that purity that Srila Prabhupada had, and we can imagine how this movement will spread. And it was Prabhupada's desire. We just read a letter the other day. Prabhupada said, someone was saying, well, Prabhupada, we can't do like what you're doing. He said, why not? You should do 2 times, 4 times, 10 times more than I am doing. Why not? I am doing 10 times more than my guru now. Or something like that. So why
is it? I sent that out.
You sent
I sent that out. But we should keep this mood that this was very much Prabhupada's mood. This Krishna consciousness is meant to change the world.
We've got to change ourselves.
We'll change ourselves also by taking part in this mission. It's not that we have to first become purified. This was given to Prabhupada, this idea. That actually, Gauriya Mat people, they usually say this, that don't preach, first you have to become pure yourself. And then you preach. And Prabhupada said, then you'll never become pure. You'll never.
This is kind of common philosophy now, much parts of ISKCON, is that you have to take care of yourself first, and, you know, later maybe. But as far as we understand, that the preaching is part of the sadhana.
And it's our duty to help others, even though we may be crippled, other people, they're paralyzed, so we should try and help them.
We were just reading a letter this morning, Srila Prabhupada was saying that if you don't preach, then you will not be able to carry on with this Hari Bol. And he said, within a few years after my departure, if you don't preach, there will be no more Hare Krishna.
Yeah. It will be like the churches.
It will be a branch of Hinduism. Preaching is the essence of our movement.
And preaching, we should understand what that means too. It doesn't just mean smiling at people. It's giving them books. Creating a good impression, that's not preaching. That might be an adjunct to preaching. There's no use in creating a good impression if you don't actually deliver the message. It's just like this, you know, someone's they have these companies, they deliver DHL or something.
Mm.
And then someone goes to, he's carrying the packet, and he goes there and he smiles at the person, and he comes away again. And he said, well, did you deliver the packet? No, but I made a good impression. I'm from DHL. So, you can smile, that's better than saying I'm from DHL and being nasty about it. You can smile. But the purpose is to deliver to the packet. So if they get, you may be a little rough, but if you give the packet, then you did the job. And they'll say, okay, DHL, then they delivered the job. They did the thing. But if you simply go and say, I'm a DHL, smile and walk away and don't give them, and then they'll be up, what happened? You know, you didn't deliver the packet. So the idea is to get the message out. So smiling, if that helps to get the message out, all well and good. But that is not our aim and object. If it's a means to the end, all well and good. And if by other means, whatever. And we're not recommending this as a preaching method, but is a fact that one cartoon showed, cartoon strip was shown to Prabhupada of a devotee walking up to a person with a book. The first one you see him holding the book like that, and the next one, it's a typical cartoon thing, there's like a little cloud with fists coming out this way. And then in the third picture, there's a guy lying on the ground with a book in his mouth and someone walking away counting the money. And they showed this to Prabhupada laugh.
Are you recommending this one?
No, I'm saying we're not recommending this as a process, but
the principle
is they should get the books. Yeah. Even then, there are many such instances that some people in the Gaudiya Math in Madras, they were announcing that you see that came in the newspaper that in Japan the government has made a complaint against the ISKCON. So Prabhupada's reply was, the government's making a complaint because we're there, we're doing something. They may not like what we're doing or how we're doing, but we're doing something. You're not even there. There are so many instances. So the aim is to preach and get the books out and smiling. If you can do it by smiling, it's better than doing it by not smiling. But it's not our aim and object. The aim and object is to get to fight against Maya, actually. Get the books out by any means. We have to be a little tactful also. We should have to remember we have to be here year after year after year also. So some consideration should be there. Yeah, we'll finish now. Hare Krishna.
Maybe the last note that in 77, when Srila Prabhupada's last few months of presence, and of course his health was externally seeming to be deteriorating, and all over the world devotees were pushing, trying to distribute more and more books and more and more books. And
because Prabhupada said, I'll stay if you distribute more books. That's why we never said
I'll live forever. So it was a tremendous competition, especially between England, France, and Los Angeles, because at that time the Radha Damodar Party had kind of like since the end of later part of 77.
But still, America was very powerful.
America was very powerful. Los Angeles especially was powerful. We had tremendous competition. We were just keeping our noses ahead, actually. Vishyatra was just keeping our noses ahead. We were doing enormous numbers of hardback books. Huge amount of SSRs, I think. We had SSRs.
Hardbound?
I can't remember. Maybe it's a year after we did that. But we had tremendous amount of books printed. You know, we printed the hardbound SSRs.
Yeah. The one time they printed, I think, 2 million Bhagavad Gita's.
Phenomenal amount.
And one print run.
You know, it was.
And they came back before the end of the year, and the printers were just astounded. They had one whole trainload of paper. And at the same time, they printed 1.5 million Perfection of Yoga in the same print run. That was for the whole world, but
there's so many devotees going out. We had about, I think we had 10 traveling parties.
Every time, temple didn't mean just some kind of ghost town, but it was temple meant every temple was alive with book distribution. Especially every time, you'd see the schools, Detroit, yeah. Denver, Ann Arbor,
Chicago. Second O'Hare Airport, O'Hare Airport. Anyway, Prabhupada wrote us this, didn't write us this letter. This was in October 77. And it's never been published because it wasn't one of those. It was actually signed by Satsarupa. I think it was Satsarupa or some, whoever was Prabhupada's secretary at that
TKG.
Time. I don't know. I don't think it was TKG who signed it. It was one. It was dictated or it was written by and Prabhupada. You know, it was approved or whatever you call it in those days. He wasn't writing letters directly. He never made it in any of the letters books.
Oh, it'll come in the next edition.
Well, I don't know. It's a book letter. I've never seen that letter. Uh-huh. Years and years.
Because they're going to bring out those kind of letters.
I think, you know, hopefully. But in that letter,
dictated.
It was secretary sent. Letters. Uh-huh. It was sent to the Sankirtan party in London, specifically thanking the devotees for their service. And in that letter, which had, you know, approved Srila Prabhupada at the bottom there, and it said that service to the spiritual master is not service of fans and followers, but it means to serve the spiritual master means to serve his desire, to fulfill his desire by preaching, distributing books in this particular case. This was the way to please Prabhupada. That was all we wanted to do. That's it. Just to please Sri Prabhupada.
Yeah, again, there's a lot of talk about our own spiritual advancement and all this and that, but it was very much focused at that time that yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati pitopi. It was very much please Srila Prabhupada, and that's it, and that's your spiritual advancement. And of course, you didn't neglect also sadhana, all those things. It's still effective. Prabhupada's mercy is extremely powerful. I was just thinking that there's this Vrindavan Mahimamrita and this supposed to finish. Prabodhananda Saraswati has written such statements as this, as even if the residents of Vrindavan, I can't remember exactly, but it's in this movie, even if they beat you on the head every day, still don't leave Vrindavan. And then even if you get 29 diseases all at once, don't leave Vrindavan. So just don't leave Vrindavan, don't leave Vrindavan. I was thinking, that was very good. But that was before Prabhupada came to the West. Now our advancement is in these cities in the Western world, all over the world.
But
Vrindavan is also here, if you can see it. You'll find Vrindavan better out on the streets distributing these books. And just like Prabhupada said, don't think you'll find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar.
And that quote also indicates the tide that Prabhupada had to go against, you know, the cultural, traditional tide to go against to get out of India and to go and do what he did.
Yeah, people were blaming him even after he started. He brought Western devotees. When I was first in India, mostly people used to say, why are you wearing this dress? You're not a Hindu. You're not allowed to wear this dress. You can't become a Hindu. Only in another life you can become a Hindu. So they had no understanding, no idea, no support, nothing. he was the only one who actually understood his guru. Nowadays we hear so many people saying that, well, you know, they're a very close disciple of Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but actually none of them understood as Prabhupada did. They didn't have that. Unless you have that preaching and missionary mood, you don't actually understand. If we're thinking how to make my own spiritual, then Prabhupada said we don't want to make Babaji class. Babaji class means they're just thinking of their own spiritual advancement. And mostly they're not actually. They don't know.
That's last year, a year before. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada.
Sorry, I just want to make that point, but I forgot to put that on. But we'll find that with the contemporary Gaudiya Math spread all over the world, they also, they don't have it's just some kind of nebulous ideas of, you know, wandering in the groves of Vrindavan, and like I say, it's nebulous because they're disconnected from that. They're not actually connected with Krishna by service to his mission, which is Prabhupada explained that Krishna has come in this age in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wants this really spread. So they're not connected to that. And that's why they'll talk about Radha in, what is that telling one devotee tell me in Germany, it's just a big joke that the Gopi Bhav pub club. Narayan Maharaj's disciples, they're mostly found in the pub.
Hare Krishna.
So that's what it comes to, because you're artificially trying to go up there and you don't even have your legs on the ground, and it's all talk of all this, and practically you can't control your senses. You're not actually getting the spiritual pleasure which you may sometimes talk about. So it just becomes a big sahajya thing. And they have no understanding or appreciation. They cannot relate. They don't know what's going on in this movement at all. How we're talking about Bhaktisri. They say karma kanda. Karma yoga. They have no idea. Nothing. They're disconnected from the actual Sankirtan movement.
I think if we go, but we should at least go.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Jai Hare Krishna.
So when it's back to the Kash Maharaj ki,
Jai
Ananda Prabhu ki,
Jai
Pani Prabhu ki,
Jai.